Greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Looks like it's a little slimmer today, but I'm glad that we didn't allow the snow to scare us off, but we still met together to worship. For our message this morning, it ties in a little bit with the Sunday school in handing off what we have to the next generation, and how do we do that? And I chose to preach on this subject because I was assigned this at Loyola for next Sunday night. Not that I feel like I'm an expert on the subject, but it is a subject that I do care about and I do feel is important. But the assignment that was given to me was a biblical basis for the Lord's Day. And we were taught this subject quite well when Leo was still with us, but it's been a couple of years, and so it wouldn't hurt at all for a little refresher on a biblical basis for the Lord's Day. Why are we here on a Sunday morning worshiping God when, if you read the Ten Commandments, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Why are we worshiping on Sunday? And so that's the question we'd like to answer this morning. And partway through the message, I would like to look a little bit at some of the questions of why do we believe what we believe about anything? But for the first part of the message here, I'd like to trace some of the Sabbath day observance through the Old Testament, starting with Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. You can turn there. And then looking through a couple places in Exodus and Numbers, and then in the major prophets, there's a few places it's mentioned. So I'd like to just follow this through a little bit. I think I have 8 different instances written down here of when the Sabbath day was mentioned. There's probably a couple more. Wouldn't have got them all. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. This is talking when God created the world. We know he went through the 6 days of creation, and you can read that in chapter 1, the whole way down through all the different things he made on what days. We don't believe evolution. We believe God made this earth. And when he got to the end, on the 7th day, it tells us what he did. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the 7th day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the 7th day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And there is the first reference to the Sabbath day, or the day of rest. God established a day of rest when he created the world. After all his work was done, on the 7th day, he did nothing. He just rested. And then the next verse says, verse 3 says, that he sanctified it because he had rested. So he said, I'm going to rest today. And then he said, I want people to always rest on the 7th day. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16, verse 4, 5, and then we'll drop down to verse 23. It's interesting to note that almost all cultures have a day of rest, not always on the Sabbath or on another, on that particular day, but on one day or another. And there's been people along the ways that have tried to change it, make a 10-day week or make it different in some way, but almost all cultures have a day of rest. We all came from the same place, and so it was handed down. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Yeah, this was before the Ten Commandments. I was thinking the Ten Commandments was next. Verse 4, then the Lord said unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, this is the manna, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the 6th day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And so God says, I'm going to send you manna. We're going to make this test here. We're going to see if you're going to listen on me or not. You're supposed to bring exactly what you need in every day for that day. and we're going to test you and see if you obey or not. Well, some people did, some people didn't. And they found out that it rotted till the next day. No, they needed it fresh every day. But he said, on the sixth day, he wants them to gather twice as much as they did the other days. He's going to see if they listen on him here as well. Drop down to verse 23. Verse 22. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that the Lord, which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So here you have the Sabbath again emphasized to the people. When you put out the manna, listen, you need to obey. And he had the Sabbath as a test to the people's obedience. You could also take this as an example of what God expects from people when they set aside a day of rest. You could take it that way. Some people do. Exodus chapter 20. Let's go over there now to the Ten Commandments. Verse 8 through 11 talks about the Sabbath, this day of rest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it shalt thou not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Here in the Ten Commandments, it's listed. And he says, you need to do it because I gave you an example in creation. So it was commanded that they would rest the seventh day. It says you should do it because of the creation. Now if you go over to Exodus 31 and verse 12. Here he is talking about the Sabbath again to the people and giving more details. And you'll notice here he takes it a step farther and he says, it's not just because I did it at creation. It's not just because I want you to be obedient. It is a covenant between me and you. You need to keep the Sabbath as a covenant between us. 31 verse 12, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. I wanted to read down to verse 18. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. So here God emphasized this again and said, you need to do it, and it's a covenant between me and you. In other words, this is something you will do for me. and I will protect you. Keep this Sabbath day, the Saturday. Let's go to Numbers chapter 15. Here's the incident where they found the man profaning the Sabbath day. Numbers 15. And verse 32. And we'll read from 32 to 36. For while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, This man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Here God took very severe punishment on this man for breaking the Sabbath day. He was one of them. He knew the law. He knew what was expected of him. And he decided his own personal comfort, whatever it was, or money that he wanted to make, whatever, for whatever reason, he went out and gathered sticks anyway. And God said he needs to be punished for this. Now let's jump over to Isaiah chapter 58. Just trying to get this background on what the Sabbath day was and where it came from. Isaiah 58. One through three. Cry aloud, spare not, lift thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They asked of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the days of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Just reading those three verses to give you a little picture, it talks about these people that are crying after God and asking for him to delight in their ways, and yet doesn't sound like God is real approachable. Verse 8, well, farther down it tells us what their problem was. And one of those, it talks about, jump the way down to verse 13. So there's a couple of verses in between we could read. But let's read verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. For I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And part of the problem was, these people wanted to find God, and they were kept coming up short, and they weren't sure why. And you can read the whole passage, you get the whole picture. But part of the reason was they weren't keeping the Sabbath. They were doing whatever they felt like doing on the Sabbath day. They were using it for their own pleasure, and they weren't using it to honor God. And so God says, this is part of the reason that your life is incomplete, because you aren't pursuing me on the Sabbath day. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17. And we will read verse 19 through 27. Here is a I guess we wouldn't have to read it all. We have a good bit to cover here yet this morning. But here the people are, they came to Canaan, and not much mention was about was made about the Sabbath day until God was warning them of judgment. You read the whole chapter starting at the beginning of 17. But he was warning them about judgment that was coming. And the reason was they had a bad attitude about the Sabbath day. They didn't care. Let's just read these verses so you get the picture. Thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and all the gates of Jerusalem. And they say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth the burden out of your houses on the Sabbath, neither do any work. But hallow ye the Sabbath day as commanded by your fathers. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. Then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, and meat offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. And so he's giving them a lot of warning of judgment because they would not keep this Sabbath day. I think also there's some prophetic, there's some prophecy there about Jesus being the Sabbath in verse 20, 25 and 26. Now let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 10. We won't read all this either. But this was after they came back from Babylon as well. And Nehemiah was really strong in telling them that they should not go back to the lifestyle that they had before. Nehemiah chapter 10. Verse 28 to 31. Verse 20, 29. He's teaching them that they need to observe all these commandments, not give their daughters to the people of the land, nor take daughters from them for themselves. Verse 31, if the people of the land bring ware or any victual on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, that we would leave the seventh year and exact of every debt. Talks about it later in the book as well. When the people came and they bought and sold on the Sabbath day anyway, and the Israelites joined in on it. Nehemiah 13, verse 15 to 22, talks about how these people brought stuff in and Nehemiah went out and said, no, you can't do this. Don't come. Don't come the next Sabbath. And he went out and he shut the gates before dark. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded the gates should be shut and charged they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, so there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. And said the merchants came, lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Well, then they learned. It was going to be shut. Nehemiah wasn't going to let people profane the Sabbath day. And he commanded the Levites to sanctify the day. So I thought that was interesting as well. They had that renewed commitment to the Sabbath day when they came back. Should we use these laws? Should we use these commandments that we looked at here to promote worship on the Lord's Day? Where does the Lord's Day come from? I'd like to switch gears just a little bit. I looked at the Sabbath and preached the Sabbath quite a bit. it was very strongly taught in the Old Testament that they would have this day of rest. How do we decide what we do, what we believe? How are we going to decide what we do on the Lord's Day? The Lord's Day is a New Testament concept. New Testament, there's verses that talk about the Lord's Day. We're going to look at those a little later on. But what guides our decisions? What guides how we decide what we do or don't? And I want to think about a couple of those things first of all, because is it fear or is it faith that guides our decisions? Sometimes we become so concerned about the impacts of our decisions that we try to freeze and do everything exactly like we've always done them because we don't want anything to change. We're worried, well, it's not that we don't want anything to change, but we're worried that change might bring something negative. And I like to tell us this morning that let's make sure we're always grounded in truth and doing what's right. And look at it that way. And yeah, times change, things change, and technology changes. And so we continue to relate to things a little differently as time comes along. Just take a simple example, like a songbook. We had a certain songbook at church here, and we always use that songbook. Someone comes along and says, let's use a different one. There's a new one. And there's always some that'll say, well, no, let's not change. They might not have all the old songs. We might forget some of these. You can see this becomes more and more foolish the farther you go along. But if you never would have changed from the very first songbooks that we had, how different would our singing be today? Be very different. So, yeah, we've lost something, but we've also gained a lot. So we can look at a lot of different things that way. Isn't that how life is? Sometimes we keep the old, sometimes we keep the new. But hopefully we always choose the better. That's the goal. So we look at the principles. We don't base our decision on fear of what might happen, but we base our decisions on faith and what we know is best and what will bless. What do we base our practice on, and do we promote it honestly? I kept coming back to this thought as I studied the Sabbath day observance, because we like to go back and say, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Therefore, on Sunday, let's make sure that we go to church. Therefore, on Sunday, let's not do this, and we're going to use this Old Testament verses to promote it. And that's not right. It's not right. And that's what I kept coming back to. We can't go back and use a lot of Old Testament verses to promote a concept that's not taught in the New Testament. What happened to the Sabbath day going into the New Testament? Where did it go? We don't find it. We don't find Jesus promoting Sabbath day rest necessarily. He preached, he said the Sabbath, well, we'll look at those verses. I'm getting ahead of myself. What do we base our practice on? In other words, if we have a New Testament verse for it, let's say we're doing this because here is the verse. If we're doing it because it's a good tradition, let's say we're doing it because this is a good tradition. Let's not try to make a good tradition a Bible verse. There's nothing wrong with saying we're doing this because we think it's a good idea, instead of promoting it as gospel truth. Maybe I should have given some of these thoughts at the very end. It will make more sense to you. Sometimes we make some of these decisions because of unity or peace at the moment. Let's make sure when we give a reason for what we're doing it honestly. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of teeth in the law about keeping it holy. And in the New Testament, we don't find it. Will you experience eternal damnation if you stop and buy a sandwich on Sunday? Well, some people preach it and promote it that way. I don't find it that strong in the New Testament. But neither are we going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's keep what we can. Now, I remember one of the first times, I hadn't really thought about it. We just always went to church on Sunday. But I was 20 years old and working for another man. And he was pruning in one tree and I was in another. And we started a conversation, and He started the conversation because the Sunday before, I think it was the Sunday before, the little children got up front here and said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And they all went and sat down. And I didn't think anything of it, but it bothered him because he said, Sunday school teachers teaching a New Testament Lord's Day observance, but then they come up here and they use an Old Testament verse. So why do they do that? He's not sure that this was right. And so I thought about that. Stuck with me for a long time. Is it our duty to keep the Ten Commandments, or isn't it? Well, many of the Ten Commandments, Jesus took much deeper, and he said, it's not just killing, it's also hating. It's not just committing adultery, it's also lusting, and so on. And when it comes to the Sabbath day, he didn't say a lot. He didn't say anything in support, necessarily. So we have a lot of good traditions for the Lord's Day, but most of them are simply that, good traditions. Good traditions. And we need to teach them that way. So let's look at this in the New Testament. What did Jesus say about the Sabbath? Luke chapter 13. Let's read a couple verses here. Luke 13, verses 10 through 17. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So he was observing the Sabbath. Well, I guess he taught every day. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift her up. And when Jesus saw her, lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Part of the reason the Pharisees were so strong, and I think they had, on the Sabbath day, and I think they had deduced it to 39 things. I read that somewhere. I don't see if I wrote it down. A certain number of things that they could and couldn't do on the Sabbath day, how far they could travel, and different things like that they could do. And they were very strict in keeping it because of Nehemiah and the coming out of judgment because they weren't keeping it. But they really pushed it too far. And here's an example where Jesus healed this woman on the Sabbath day, loosed her, and the ruler jumped up and said, This is wrong. He shouldn't be healing people on Sunday. And Jesus said, Why not? If your ox is, you let him loose to go get food on Sabbath day. You get him out of the ditch on the Sabbath day. He didn't mention that here. He mentioned it somewhere else. So why not, if someone's in trouble, loose them on the Sabbath day? Jesus is introducing a new concept. In the Old Testament, in the creation, God taught the Sabbath as rest, ceasing. And Jesus is saying, the Sabbath is more than just ceasing. The Sabbath is going from spiritual unrest to rest. So anything that promotes spiritual growth on a Sunday is a good thing. It's not just doing nothing. In the Old Testament, the idea was doing nothing. Jesus is saying we're going from sin to salvation. So during the week, we struggle to make a living and do a lot of earthly things. Let's make sure when we get to Sunday, we use it for his honor and glory. Well, there's more here. Matthew chapter 12. Turn back to Matthew. Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and the disciples were hungered, and they began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto them, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered? and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? For have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So Jesus is again teaching them here that the Sabbath day, well, we'll read a verse later on where he says it was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. When you were doing the will of God, when David was doing the will of God, it was okay for him to go and eat that bread when normally it was wrong. It was normally wrong for people to work on Sunday, but he said on the Sabbath day. But he said, didn't you notice the priests keep on doing just what they do all the rest of the week? How can that be right? He's asking them these hard questions. Everybody's supposed to cease from their labor, right? But what about the preacher? The priest, he keeps on. Verse 6, well, 6 and 7, he says, I am greater than the Sabbath day. I am greater than the Sabbath day. You can worship me and do my work on Sunday. So these disciples were doing what in the law they shouldn't have done, but they were following Christ and it was okay because Jesus is teaching them a new concept. Well, let's keep following these thoughts. Mark 2, verse 27 and 28. I think this is what I'm looking for. Yeah. This is the same thought. We could have read this one as well. But he mentions these two thoughts here. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. So, what is Jesus teaching about a day of rest? He is teaching us that this day of rest is for our benefit. Physically, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually. This day of rest that we observe should be for our benefit. So, anything, yeah. It's not a day. If you're exhausting yourself in personal pleasure on the Lord's Day, it's probably not what Jesus intended. It is not what Jesus intended. If you're exhausting yourself for personal pleasure, if you're exhausting yourself for the sake of the kingdom, that fits right in to what Jesus was teaching. It's what Jesus did. Second thing is that the day of rest is under the supreme authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, this day of rest, it's under me. And I get to say what happens and doesn't happen on this day. We're directly responsible to Christ for how we keep this day. So that becomes a much clearer way of deciding what's right and wrong on the Sabbath day. Instead of saying, is it right or wrong to buy or sell on Sunday? Is it right to do this work or not this work? You can ask yourself the question, am I doing this for my own pleasure or am I doing it because of Christ's kingdom? If you see a person in need, you stop and buy them a sandwich on Sunday. There's nothing wrong with that. It is, you are showing them, if you're showing them the Spirit of Christ, and that's your reason for doing it. Should we do things on the Lord's Day simply for our own personal pleasure? Third thing I see in Jesus' teaching here, it is lawful to do good on the Lord's Day. It's right to do good on the Lord's Day. It's also lawful to do necessary work, things that you need to do for your animals. It's okay to do it on Sunday. Some more thoughts on the Lord's Day. After the resurrection, the keeping of the Sabbath rest on the seventh day is never commanded. I mentioned that earlier, but if you go through the New Testament, it's nowhere in the New Testament where it commands that we rest on the Sabbath. And I think that, I don't think that's an oversight. I think that's intentional on God's part. If you go to Hebrews chapter 4, which I preached on last time, I preached here, it talks about the rest, the day of rest. And a rest that's coming. And there was a number of four different rests, I believe, we looked at there. And one of the rests was the Sabbath, but the Sabbath pointed to another rest, which was Jesus. And so Jesus fulfilled that Sabbath rest. And now we also look forward to an eternal rest. So the Sabbath is no longer a day of the week. Sabbath is not a day of the week. Sabbath is a person. Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our rest. So that's what needs to be focused on. Our Sabbath rest was not moved from Saturday to Sunday. Okay. We think it was moved from Saturday to Sunday. We keep Sunday now. Sunday's our Sabbath. No. Sabbath was moved from Saturday to Jesus. And that's where we build our Lord's Day observance on. Jesus is our Sabbath. Paul went and preached to the Jews on the Sabbath day. But I believe he only did it because that's where they were gathered and that was a convenient place to go preach to them. Was on their Sabbath. But we also find out that he met with the saints on the Lord's Day. I don't know how many of you get to Family Life, but they recently had two articles in there that are actually very well written. But he mentioned some of the what happened in the early church. Seventh-day Adventists have been a fairly big movement, but a lot of that didn't happen until it was the mid-1800s, late-1800s, when they started that movement. And a lot of it was based on a woman's revelations from God that she had, dreams that she had, stuff she wrote down. But anyway, you can study into Seventh-day Adventists. But here's what the Family Life said about, author that wrote in there said about this, I thought was good. When the Roman Emperor Constantine accepted the Christian religion in the early 300s, he united the church and state. This was the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church. In order to regulate the population, he decreed that the Lord's Day be kept on Sunday. This was not new to the Christians, but it was the first that it became state law. Christians have worshipped on Sunday ever since the resurrection of Jesus, as we can see in ancient writings. For example, Barnabas wrote 90 years after Christ arose, "Wherefore also we keep the eighth day, the day after the seventh, with joyfulness, the day also on which Jesus rose from the dead." Even before that, the teachings of the twelve apostles instructed, "But every Lord's day do ye gather yourselves together and break bread and give thanksgiving." Justin Martyr wrote in 140 AD, "Sunday is a day on which we all hold communion assembly. Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the same day rose from the dead, for he was crucified on the day before that of Saturn," or Saturday. So why we don't want to keep Saturday anymore? Jesus was crucified on that day. From these early writings, we can understand that the keeping of the Lord's Day stems right back to the resurrection. As we know, Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. That was number one. Number two, this same day the disciples were together and Jesus appeared in their midst. And we didn't go look at those verses, but we could. A week later, Jesus again blessed their meeting with his presence and admonished a doubting Thomas. That was on the first day as well. And on the day of Pentecost, a large gathering waited for the promised power from heaven. The Holy Spirit was poured on them. This was the first day of the week as well. It's when the church was born. 3,000 were convicted and baptized. And so the early church was born on the first day of the week. Another reason that we keep it. In the Old Testament, you have a number of types. And one of them was the first fruits. So they kept the Passover, and on the day after the Passover ended, which would have been Sunday, it would have been the first day of the week, they were supposed to offer their first fruits of their what they had brought in of their crops, their harvest. And that happened on the day after the Sabbath. And Jesus rose on that day, the day of the first fruits, when they would have been taking their offering, their first fruits in of their new harvest. That was the day that Jesus came out of the grave. And so he fulfilled the prophecy of the first fruits as well. So it's good to celebrate on that day. Jesus is our resurrection. If he had not risen from the grave, there would be no power over sin and death. So this resurrection, it's vital to us as believers. And so for us to celebrate on Sunday is a good thing. Just one more verse here yet. Jesus taught the woman at the well, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Jesus was again emphasizing that it's not a day, it's not a place, it's not a certain thing that's going to get you eternal life. It's a heart that's turned towards God. It's a heart that wants to worship God, it's willing to worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm so glad that we have the Lord's Day that we can worship, that our parents have kept this tradition, and I think we should keep it for our children. My topic was not assigned to me what we should and shouldn't do on Sunday, but why do we worship on Sunday? And I think as we study why we worship on Sundays instead of keeping the Sabbath, it helps us know what we should do on Sunday. Let's use our day to honor and glorify God and to try to point people towards Jesus. Let's stand for prayer.